Michael Jordan plays defense against a Chinese company.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. We start the morning with a global perspective on business and economics. Basketball star Michael Jordan is suing a Chinese company that makes sportswear. He says Chowdan is using his name without permission and has filed suit in a Chinese court. For more, we go to the BBC's Martin Patience in Beijing. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is Michael Jordan accusing this Chinese company of doing wrong exactly?
Well, he's accusing this firm of unauthorized use of his name. Now, Michael Jordan in Chinese is called Chowdan. And certainly in China is basketball crazy. And Michael Jordan or Chowdan is a name that can be used to sell sportswear. So that's what he's accusing this firm of doing unofficially, using his name.
So what happens from here then?
Well, he's filed a case in a Chinese court. It's not clear how that will proceed. But certainly this is a continuing issue in China. I think the argument would be that they're not using the Michael Jordan brand per se. They're using the Chowdan brand, which is obviously his Chinese name.
Now, in the past, we've also heard allegations of entirely fake Apple stores, almost completely recreated American trucks like a Ford F-150. What's going on?
Well, the rule of law in China is weak and copyright laws are often flouted. I mean, just to give you an example, in Beijing, I don't know where I'd go to buy a genuine DVD of a Hollywood film. That's how pervasive the problem is in terms of copyright. China would say that it's a developing country. This is an issue in the developing world. The authorities say they're trying to take tougher measures, but when you speak to companies here, they say this is a problem that the Chinese authorities simply haven't got a hold of.
The BBC's Martin Patience in Beijing. Thanks.
Thank you.
Now, let's do the numbers. Global markets are up this morning, and gas prices, yep, they're up again too. Here in the U.S., we have word that the post office is planning to cut up to 35,000 jobs to try to save some money.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, celebrating the launch of Social Campaigns, a brand new social media marketing tool. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Now to Michigan, where we've focused all this week on the real economy. We want to know how the economy is shaping the way people plan to vote in Tuesday's election. Right now, the Republican primary is close there. Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum are leading the pack. Romney's doing his best to sway voters to his side by playing up his Michigan roots and pushing hard for a law that would get rid of mandatory union membership. Michigan Radio's Jennifer Guerra reports.
By now, you've probably heard how much Mitt Romney loves Michigan. The trees, the lakes, the cars. But the state's current labor laws? Not so much. Here's Romney at a recent campaign stop in Michigan.
My view is every person in America ought to have the right to choose whether to join a union or not. And so I'm in favor of right-to-work legislation.
So-called right-to-work laws would allow union workers to opt out of joining a union and paying dues. Romney has been making it a big talking point as he campaigns across Michigan. Republican State Representative Mike Shirky could not be happier with the timing.
The fact that Governor Romney has chosen to make this a key part of his message in Michigan is awesome for us.
Shirky plans to introduce a right-to-work bill to the Michigan legislature soon. 23 states have already passed similar laws. Shirky says a right-to-work law will bring more investment to Michigan. Opponents say it's flat-out union-busting. Michigan's Republican Governor Rick Snyder, who endorsed Romney, calls the whole right-to-work debate divisive. He says focusing on fixing the economy is more important. In Ann Arbor, I'm Jennifer Guerra for Marketplace.
My colleague Jeremy Hobson is with us now for more. He's been reporting from Michigan all week and joins us from Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning.
So the primary is next Tuesday. What did you learn about how the economy is affecting the election?
Well, it's a very mixed picture here. We just spent time in two very different parts of the Detroit area, one very wealthy, one not wealthy at all, and people's views of the economy are different. But one of the people that we talked to in Grosse Pointe, which is a fancy suburb, a guy named Fred Satterland, he deals in auto parts supplies, and so he was helped by the auto bailout a few years ago, and here's what he had to say about that.
Bailing out the car companies was a good thing. You can always argue about who got the short end of that deal and who got better off.
But the interesting thing, Adrian, is he's not going to vote for President Obama. He plans to vote next Tuesday for Rick Santorum.
So, Jeremy, it's not just bailout politics there. How else is the economy affecting Michigan voters?
Well, we've been talking about a comeback that some are seeing in the auto industry. GM just reported some big profits. People are looking. They're saying the auto companies, they're back on their feet again. But the fact is that even as the unemployment rate here has dropped from a 14% peak down to about 9%, some look at that and say that's not because all those people got jobs. It's because many of them have left the state. They've gone to other places, perhaps Texas, where they can get jobs. And the other thing is, Adrian, I talked to you the other day about the fact that there's a surplus right now in the state of Michigan and that the governor is, even though he had made big cuts in education, is going to put some of that money back. Well, after that was on the radio, we got a call from a local school official here in Michigan who said, well, that's true. He's putting some money back, but it's not nearly as much as he took away. So still many people starting from a much lower point than they were just 5 years ago in Michigan.
Fascinating. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson. Thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, to a kitchen in Britain, where a teenager wants a spot in the Guinness Book of World Records. His accomplishment? Holding 16 coffee mugs in one hand at one time. According to The Sun, he's applied to Guinness for the world's best cup holder title and the fame and fortune that comes along with it. No word yet on if they'll accept him. It's a category that, as you might guess, doesn't currently exist. The teen apparently discovered his talent unloading the dishwasher. I'm Adrienne Hill in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
On the list of Oscar-nominated films this year is an animated short made not in Hollywood, but down in the bayou.
You can't throw a rock in California without hitting an animator, you know, or somebody else kind of in that field. And I don't think we're there yet.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Can Louisiana make it in the animation business? That story next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.